Chapter 34.
Ben and his father and Vistara were still 50 meters from the shadow when dazed Sith began to drift back into the village circle. With battered faces and torn robes, most of them looked as if they had been in a cantina brawl rather than fleeing illusory ghosts. But there were a few serious injuries, compound fractures and caved-in faces typical of high-impact collisions or long falls. To a being, they had the unfocused, saucerized gaze of trauma victims, and they were so wary and jumpy that it was not unusual to hear the crackle of crossing lightsabers whenever two of them encountered each other unexpectedly.
"This is bad," Vistara said. "They're coming to their senses."
"Just act casual," Ben said. "We'll be fine as long as we don't draw attention to ourselves."
"That's right," Luke agreed. He had one hand resting on Ben's shoulder, steadying himself. "They don't realize Talon is dead yet, so they have no reason to think anything is out of the ordinary here." There was a calm confidence in Luke's voice that suggested he was experiencing the same waves of reassurance that kept rolling over Ben. Someone they knew was using the Force to encourage them, trying to tell them help was on the way. The touch was not familiar enough for Ben to recognize, though he suspected his father knew exactly who was reaching out to them and how far away they were. Ben just hoped it wasn't another Falanasi illusion. Luke's knee gave way again, and Ben sucked air through his teeth as his father's hand clamped down on his semi-diced shoulder. But he didn't complain. He was far too grateful to have a father there to hold on to him.
"Just keep walking," Luke urged.
"We're almost there."
"Almost is the problem,"
Vistara replied. Nearly 24 Sith had entered the circle now, and a few dazed eyes were beginning to swing in the Skywalker's direction.
"They're never going to let us aboard without Talon or my father. It might be better to duck out of sight and hope they get distracted when they find Lord Talon's body."
"We can't wait," Luke said. He pointed his chin toward the far corner of the island, where ship's red-veined globe was just starting to climb for the sky. "Abeloth is leaving. That's why the Falanasi have stopped killing intruders." Vistara frowned.
"So?"
"So we still have a chance of tracking her," Luke replied.
"And that's a good thing?"
Vistara ran an appraising eye over both Skywalkers, then said,
"You two are a long way from fighting form, and if you think I'm going after her alone..."
"Hardly," Luke interrupted. The trio had closed to within 30 meters of the shadow. But a lean Kashyyyk Sith with deep purple eyes and alabaster hair was starting in their direction and motioning for others to follow.
"We just have to finish this."
Vistara looked at him as though he were crazy.
"Why?"
she asked.
"Say you do manage to kill Abeloth again. So what?"
"Dad, Vistara kinda has a point about that," Ben said.
He could think of only one reason a badly wounded Abeloth would flee her Falanasi protectors, and it wasn't because she expected the Skywalkers to return to fighting shape before she did. She had to be worried about fighting someone else, maybe a whole bunch of someone else's.
"Killing Abeloth doesn't accomplish much."
"It keeps her weak," Luke countered, "and that protects the sheltered Jedi." The observation struck Ben like a blaster bolt. Like his father and everyone else, Ben had attributed the Jedi Knight's recovery to the death of Abeloth's first body. But after discovering she was still alive, it had never occurred to him to ask why those Jedi were still sane. The answer, of course, was probably just what his father had suggested. After the destruction of her first body, she had been too weak to reach out to the sheltered Jedi. But if she ever regained her strength, she would certainly do so again, especially if she could use them against the Order. As of now, the Skywalkers were the only ones in position to track her. His father had shed more than enough blood to use a Dathomiri blood trail against Abeloth, but if that didn't work, they would have to track her by analyzing her hyperspace jumps. And to do that, they needed to be close enough to record them. Chest filling with pride at his father's endurance and foresight, Ben glanced over and asked,
"We're going to be doing this for a while, aren't we?"
Luke smiled and nodded.
"I'm afraid so, son."
He turned to Vistara.
"Are you up to this? You could still take your chances with your friends and family plan."
Vistara's brow rose.
You'd let me remain with them?
Whatever your reasons, you saved Ben's life in there, Luke replied. I think I can give you a break. Just this once. Vistara considered the offer for nearly a dozen steps, then tipped her head and looked over at Luke.
Is this a test, Master Skywalker?
Ben was asking himself the same question, because the last thing his father would want was Vistara repeating what she had overheard about the Jedi Queen. Though now that he thought about it, Avaloth hadn't revealed anything Talon hadn't known already. She'd merely confirmed that a Jedi Queen was destined to claim a throne the Sith coveted themselves.
If I accept your offer of release, Vistara continued, how quickly will I find myself dead?
Luke chuckled. That's not my style, he said. You're free to stay behind if you want to take your chances with the Sith. But if you come with us, it can't be as a prisoner. We're going to have enough trouble without worrying about you. So if you stay with us, it needs to be because you want to,